The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You were reading a piece by Amanda Platel.
Yes.
When my husband cheated on me, I packed his bags and changed the locks. After watching the new Fatal Attraction, I wish I had not.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. Somebody pointed this out to me. It was, so this girl, Amanda Platel, she's a serious journalist. You know, she'd probably be my kind of age group, actually. And but she'd have been press secretary, you know, for senior politicians in the UK and that, you know, so she's a serious journalist. And she put this out that she had divorced in the 80s. And it was on foot of an infidelity by the husband that she kind of heard of it, by the way, through a friend, mm-hmm. which was obviously, I suppose, there was an indignity in that. And it had been going on for about 4 months. She kind of suggested to him that he kind of go away and deal with it or think about it for a few days. But in fact, she changed the locks, threw all his stuff outside the window. Great show of sort of protest, as she would put it, of anger. And, you know, and she was hurting, of course. But what she wrote the article about was that she felt she had very little choice, that it was very much the feminist time for her. And she had the big job, as she said, and the big hair, which was the way she put it. And she said she didn't really realise that she had a choice, that perhaps she could have looked around it. And she spoke of recently going to the new version of Fatal Attraction and how it had made her think about all of this again. So I thought it was very interesting because, you know, we have all sorts of ideas in our heads about once infidelity happens, it's over. Full stop. That, and she was saying really that she finds now that women have more choices, that they're less black and white about it. In those days, there was a sense that the indignity was too much to bear, that there was only, if you were a strong woman, you would always kick him out. Whereas strong women now think around these things and they do have other choices.
But wasn't there a belief at the time that the only people who were being unfaithful were the men?
Correct.
And they found a young single woman to be unfaithful to their wife with.
Yes.
Whereas a married woman would never dream of going off and having
an affair. And of course, infidelity cuts both ways. You're absolutely right. But it does still, the figures are there to show that really it is more in that timing now, the 80s. We're talking 80s, 90s. The time it would have been, the men always had more opportunity. They also had, I suppose, many more sort of, they had the balance of power was tipped entirely in their favour, yeah. to make it simple, I think. And there was much more infidelity always done by men than by women.
So from her point of view, in the 80s, no self-respecting feminist would take him back. Therefore,
yes, I think, and that was really what she was saying. And she said, you know, that she just didn't see any other way of looking at it. Since that time, she said she has looked back, reflected on it. She realizes that she was mad about her job, mad about her career at that particular point, feeling very, you know, very, very much that she was on the up. But her husband had, in fact, pleaded with her to, you know, create some time for them, that he felt there was no place, you know, for him in her life. And she would recognize now that those pleas were there. He had said that he had, you know, really was very disappointed. There was a great love there. And she would speak of that very strongly and that perhaps she could have found a way to work around it or to forgive him, you know, and to work with it. But she didn't. He would say it was a cry for help. I heard a statement recently.
I can hear all the women listening saying he would say that, wouldn't he? It wasn't about jumping in the scratcher with some attractive young woman, it was a cry for help.
Yeah, but when women, you know, break away as well, there is, it's also usually, you know, that same kind of cry for help, you know, statement is often made. It's often, I think what people forget sometimes is that infidelity, a one-night stand, an affair, it's so easy just to say, it's just sex, it's nothing. You know, it's just somebody being selfish, it's somebody just pleasing themselves, you know. But really, there's a lot more to it, usually. That happens sometimes, of course, where somebody is just utterly selfish, opportunistic, and they keep a dual kind of situation going for 20 years, for 10 years. I think that's a very selfish act, but and a very of a different level. But if somebody has a one-night stand, it can be interpreted along different lines. It has to be looked at differently. You have to, I think, look and see what is being said here, what is being done. Is this a mistake? Is it immaturity? What's going on? Or is there something in the relationship that needs attending to or to be looked at?
Is there any way back, though, from that kind of serious infidelity? And I mean, maybe all infidelity should be regarded as serious, but as you say, two people at the office party,
that's
both hammered, and they end up in the bed together.
Yeah.
Never happen again. Mortification all around on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, that really should be seen differently.
Yes. Shouldn't it be seen differently to somebody who has told you lies for 5 years or 2 years or a year and pretended to be your partner, your lover, your friend, and have deceived you in many ways. So there is absolutely a continuum in terms of how serious a thing is. So and also how serious the matter is in terms of what it says about what is between the two of you. And that's why I think people do find a way back. And I certainly encourage people very often back. But I think that it takes quite a few things. Duration matters. How long the deception was going on really matters. I think if it's something that's relatively short term, it's more open to, well, interpretation as well, to what is going on here. Why is somebody pulling away? Why are they moving towards somebody else? If you still love each other, why, where have the gaps been here? And it's not about fault. It's not about blame. Oh, it's up to you to keep this one happy. I mean, it's an old fashioned idea. Gone. That's completely gone. But there is a mutual responsibility for the relationship. And I mean, interesting, that girl says that there too, which I thought was quite interesting, the Amanda Platel. And I thought it was good of her to put it out there because it allows other women, I think, who are strong and in many ways dealing with, and I deal with men in this situation too, and I do really mean to put that out there. I think that it's become more frequent because the opportunity for infidelity has changed utterly. The landscape of that has changed utterly. So women do go out and they make a mistake and they are sorry and they come back and they try and hide it, and perhaps if it comes out then it gets explained.
Do men
like
have more difficulty forgiving an infidelity than women?
I don't think so. I don't think they have more difficulty. I think both have difficulty. I think men have more difficulty coming back, if you like, into the sexual of it, that they struggle with the fact that with comparison, perhaps, and with the visual of remembering that somebody else was, you know, involved with your wife or involved, you know, I think
that
they struggle with.
But is that more down to biology as well? Because
I think so.
That the whole idea of it's a wise child who knows its own father, you know, and the idea that I think in the Jewish faith, you can't be Jewish unless your mother's Jewish.
Yes, that's right. So yes, I think you can accept that, you know, some things that we know are biologically set, but it can still be moderated. I mean, I think that they do. And I think that some men have less difficulty with that. And it's also more about, I think, emotional, psychological capacity that people can forgive. You meet people who expect perfection from others, who have a very tight and a very kind of restricted view of how the relationship should be. And I think if you're with a person who is like that, then they're less likely to be able to forgive you your flaw, your mistake. And that may extend to all other aspects of life as well, you know. So that capacity to forgive, to accept that people are flawed, limited, that we disappoint each other a little bit, that life isn't perfection and that relationships are not perfection. I think that they're the people who can forgive.
Some people are maybe stuck. They can't leave because they don't have the financial resources to leave.
Yes.
You know, and they're looking at what...
Putting up.
What abyss is awaiting me if I throw your man out, or if we go into divorce, the house is sold, there isn't enough for two homes.
Yes.
The children will have to leave that school and move somewhere else. All of that. So
there's
they
many
put up
reasons. Well, put up with it, and, you know, there may be some of that. I think many reasons, there are many reasons to repair. And some of them are that maybe a lot of the situation is good and some of it is not good. So people make those decisions for sure. So for financial reasons, as you say, sometimes, but also for the reasons that maybe there's a lot of good stuff there in the whole family unit that somebody wants to save. The other is that I think sometimes people don't have the personality capacity to go it alone. I meet that quite often, people who know they should leave, but they find it really impossible to face a future alone. They just prefer to have somebody with them than to be on their own, going to everything, hitting the 4 o'clock dark in the winter, closing the door. They kind of put up with imperfection. And now I would think that's a different matter to putting up with and accepting that your partner has made a mistake, and together you work out how that has happened, and you decide if you can forgive and go forward.
Interesting remarks from Philip Schofield in his Castaway programme, talking about how his wife found it easier to forgive him because he did not have a relationship with another woman. It was with a man.
Yes.
And I mean,
but doesn't that make sense? Because there isn't a factor of competition there. Yeah, I've dealt with quite a few situations where, she's not looking at another woman who has taken her place. She knows there was obviously a struggle. And so I suppose in a way it would be easier to forgive because he's not moving on to somebody like you.
Yeah. It can never be the same. I think that's really the message, is it may be healed, but it'll be different.
Well, I think it will be different. But I do want to point out that I definitely have worked with many couples where there's been infidelity, and I would say they are stronger after it. I'm not recommending it as the way to go. I think there's many other ways to be stronger. But I think that if you have that sort of openness to looking at why it happened, what it means about you, not pointing at you, but what it means about you, what it means about us, you know, that this happened. If you can be honest and open with that, you really can grow. And I think the relationship can, in fact, deepen and be better than be hidden and things unsaid, not spoken, things not expressed. So I do think there's a potential for strength, but it requires a lot of openness.
A question from a listener. Does Steph come across couples where forgiveness is given, but then he cheats again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. And she, let's keep it equal here. I think that does happen, absolutely, because there are people who really do not have the emotional maturity and maybe never are going to withstand temptation. And the other is that some people are very addicted to flattery. And we all know the beginning of any little flirtation with anyone, the lift and the buzz is you feel very seen, you feel very noticed, very heard again, very valued, and you feel this sense of, we can call it frisson, but it's also that it's waking up a kind of a part of you that can feel quite dead in a relationship if it's not attended to. And that's what's going on there.
Do dating apps have any role to play in all of this in terms of putting temptation in people's way?
150%.
150%.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Sure. Don't we know from that a third of the people on Tinder declared themselves married, you know? So now that could be married and looking around, but it's certainly married and thinking about it, isn't it? And it's not just about marriage anymore, because so many people are in really committed relationships and they don't want to marry and they don't wish to marry. But, you know, if you're in a committed relationship, my view would always have been, if you're not in that and working on that and wanting to be there, you know, just remember that a person deserves your emotional truth. They deserve truth. That's the point.
Some of the texts come in. My husband cheated on me for years. There is no going back. That's from one listener. Mm-hmm. Another one says, aren't we all unfaithful in our heads every day?
Well, maybe not every one of us, but definitely that person. Yeah.
I'm perfect bunch are the very ones who are so flawed themselves, but won't face it. They love to blame those around them. Yeah. I know a woman like that.
Mm. Well, I think that person is referring to the judgmental nature of people around it, which I think is important about this slot, is that we're very quick to judge. But there's a lot behind infidelity.
If the love is strong, they'll ride the waves over the stormy seas, says one, which is an optimistic note.
Yes.
One night, one month, one year, it doesn't matter. It's betrayal. And I definitely could not forgive and stay with someone who cheated. They could never be the same again, irrespective of what anyone would say.
Mm. I'm not sure I would agree with that. I think that people should consider. I heard a great saying the other day. It was in a film, actually, that I watched. And the husband said, I checked out of this marriage for two nights. He said, you checked out of this marriage, he said, for 5 years. And I thought there was something in that. People do check out. I agree. I'm not being all forgiving here, but there is something in it. You have to look at why these things happen. It's not black and white.
This one from Jack. I'll be perfectly frank. I love my wife deeply, but if she ever cheated on me, our marriage would be over. No question.
Fair enough. That's Jack's decision. But it is a decision that not everybody takes. It's not always just the right decision. And there are shades of grey. You must remember this. You know, there are many reasons why people do it. It's at different times in the relationship. It doesn't mean that you don't love your partner. It just means that maybe they've made a mistake. People do make mistakes. Do we not accept that? We accept it in all sorts of other areas of life, that people make mistakes. Why are we so hard? We know, as you say rightly, there's the biological factor, there's the we're driven, we want to know, you know, we want to know that this person is ours and our home is safe, and we're entitled to that. But things do happen, and as a therapist, I'm obviously aware of all of the grey.
Clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast, Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.